Well, please keep your Bibles open at Acts chapter 5. We live in a land which is filled with many, many blessings. And we could start listing these blessings and we could go on and on and on. But just to open this sermon, I'd just like to draw your attention to three groups of people whose work blesses all of us. We think about people who work in the health service. Well, doctors, nurses, pharmacists, all these other people who are there and caring for us. And they're a great blessing to us, aren't they? The work that they do, the sacrifices that they do. We can think about the police. Hopefully you see them as a blessing. And the police, they're the people who are there. They keep law and order on our streets. Without law and order, our lives would be pretty miserable. And they're there to help out when things go wrong as well. A great opportunity to serve people. Another category as well are teachers. Teachers who educate the next generation. People who work really, really hard and often in very difficult situations with sometimes quite difficult people to educate the next people, the next generation. Now, I'm sure all of us know some people who fall into these categories. Maybe we know people who are in each of these categories. And at some point, I'm sure we've asked them, why do you do the things that you do? And those health professionals, hopefully they'd say, well, I want to really help people. People, they get sick, they need help. It's a wonderful thing that I can use the skills and talents that God has given me in order to help these people. And with the police as well. You ask the police, why do you do the things that you do? That's a hard job because you see the worst side of society. And people, they want to serve people. They want to help people. They want to maintain the order on the streets. And the same with the teachers. The best teachers, they want to educate the next generation. They're filled with a desire to pass this knowledge on to people. And we respect all of these reasons for doing these jobs. But then, maybe you could talk to another doctor or police officer or teacher. And you could get a completely different answer. Well, actually, I do it for the money. And I don't think they pay me enough. At that moment, when you hear that health professional, that police officer, that teacher, explain what they're doing because they're doing it for the money, your attitude and approach to them completely changes, doesn't it? They are people who are making great sacrifices. They're working really hard. They're serving society. They're doing all these things which are really good and honorable. But they're doing them for the wrong reasons altogether. And we know, don't we, that inner heart desire, that motive that drives someone. That's what flavors everything about the person that they're doing. And it's terrible when you come across someone who is doing the right thing for the wrong reason. And with that thought in mind, let's go to our passage. Because here we have a husband and a wife, Ananias and Sapphira, who are doing the right thing, but they're doing it for the wrong reason. And this passage, when we look at it, it really needs to be included with what we were looking at last week. The end of chapter 4 just seems to flow through into chapter 5, and maybe they put the chapter break in the wrong place. Whenever we look at scripture, it's always helpful for us to remember that the chapters and the verses have been imposed on the text by people in the Middle Ages. They came up with this helpful numerical system, which we all really value and is brilliant, but sometimes there's odd sort of splits there. And this story, it really carries straight on from what we saw at the end of Acts 4, where the believers, they're in one heart and mind, and they're sharing their possessions. And that small percentage of people who are really well off, about 17% of the people, they're selling their land, they're selling their houses, and they're bringing it and laying it at the apostles' feet, the money from that sale. And that money is being distributed throughout the community, helping those people who are far worse off. And many people were very poor in those days. We think we have poor today, but it was nothing like the people they had then. People who would be slaves or destitute, and they needed that help and support. The church was working in this wonderful koinonia, this fellowship together, where they were all loving and caring for one another. And then we were introduced to Joseph, Barnabas, the son of encouragement. And he's introduced laying the land that he sold at the apostles' feet. A positive example for us to all follow. We all should try and be encouragers. It's far, far harder to encourage than it is to destroy. The church seems to be filled with people who love to destroy. Encouragers, genuine encouragers are really, really rare. People who do the right thing for the right reasons. And with this positive example in our mind's eye, the text now moves on to this negative example, to Ananias and Sapphira. These people who, they were doing the right thing, but they were doing it for the wrong reason. If we only looked at the surface of the things, we'd see that their behavior appears identical to Barnabas. If you didn't know what was going on behind the scenes, you could not tell the difference between them. Both of them had sold some property, some land, and they brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet for distribution amongst those people in the church who were a lot poorer. So at face value, you could not tell them apart. But God's the one who sees the heart. He knows the motives. He knows what goes on behind the scenes. So we get the backstory. And we see, don't we, that there's a conspiracy here between Ananias and Sapphira. They're selling this property, but instead of giving 100% to the apostles, they're only given a smaller amount. We don't know how much. Maybe they're only given 50%. But they're telling the apostles that they're giving it all. And the thing is, they did not have to give 100% to the apostles. They could have said, we've sold this property and we've got this money and it came to £1,000 and we would like to give £500 to the church. That was absolutely fine. We see that in verses 3 and 4. The money was at their disposal to do with as they pleased. They didn't have to give it all to the church. They could have just given some of it to the church. The problem is that they're pretending to give it all to the church while they're putting some into their back pocket. And for them, they think it's a win-win solution because who's going to find out? Who's going to know? And they're really going to gain in the church because everyone's going to look at them and go, wow, look how generous they are. Look at the sacrifices they've made. They're doing this so that they can benefit financially while also benefit in their standing within the church. So that people think a lot more of them than they actually are. This is the problem that's here. And it's a problem that we see all around us in the world today. People who are trying to make themselves really big. Who's been watching the news and following sort of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and American politics? If there's one example that's in everyone's mind at the moment about people trying to make themselves as big and as important as possible, it's got to be the American political scene where they're trying to work out who's going to represent the Republican and the Democratic parties. And their whole system seems to be about personality and making the person appear as big and as important as they possibly can. They also attack the others and are really nasty to them. But if we just hold on to this thought of trying to make people yourself appear as big as possible, this is what Ananias and Sapphira are trying to do. They want to be big. They want to be important. They want to be well-liked. They want to be people So they want to have it so that people look up to them and think that they are something far bigger than they actually are. And at the same time, they don't want to make the sacrifices that that entails. So they're keeping some back. They're putting it there into their back pocket. They want their cake and they want to eat it. But they're not bearing in mind what they're actually doing. They are lying to the apostles. They are lying to the community and they're lying to God. They don't really seem to understand just who God is. It's a classic example of what we've been studying on a Thursday night, where we've been talking, haven't we, about if you see your God as big, then the problem of your sin is really big. And if you see God as really big, you see yourself as really small. But if you see God as very small, you tend to see yourself as very big. You may even think that God is there to serve you and just help you with your problems. And when you see self as really big, then your sin becomes really small. And what happened on the cross? The price Jesus paid for our sins, that becomes even smaller again. Here we see Ananias and Sapphira. They're seeing themselves as really big and God as really small. This is what causes people to behave like this. They don't take God seriously. They forget about who he is. Now, for Ananias and Sapphira, we need to remember that these are people converted from a Jewish background. They should have had a really high understanding of what God was like. They were in Jerusalem. The temple was operating. And the whole temple system is set up to remind people just how big God is. And how people can't just go into his presence dilly-dally any old way that they want. No, they understood about sin. They understood about purity and cleanliness. These things which mirror the holiness that people should be having. And the holiness of God, which is absolute and complete. So when we see them doing this, we've just got to throw our hands in the air and wonder, what on earth were they thinking? To lie to the apostles, to lie to the community, to lie to God. We just do not understand why they're thinking this, but we do get a sort of idea about what's going on, because we see that sort of Satan has entered into them and he's planted an idea. He's planted a sinful thought in their minds. And this is one of the things we need to understand about sin. Sin is deceitful. Sin lies. Sin tells us what we want to hear. And it says, it doesn't matter. It'll be all right. No one cares. No one knows. No one's going to find out. It'll be all right. Sin is deceitful. And all of us are susceptible to these sinful thoughts. We need to be careful. We need to be on our guard. Because it's been said that given enough time, even the most Christian man or woman could find a reason for justifying, explaining to themselves, whatever they come up with. We are excellent at finding reasons why the rules do not apply to us. They apply to you, but they don't apply to me. We are all excellent at that. Ananias and Sapphira. If they knew that Barnabas was pocketing a bit of money in the back and pretending to give 100%, what do you think they would have said? Maybe they'd have exposed him. Maybe they'd have made a song and dance about it. They certainly wouldn't have respected it. But they're happy to do it themselves. Sin is deceitful. And this happens when we've got a little view of God and a big view of self. And we forget what the Bible teaches about God, about his holiness, about his purity, about the sort of people that he wants us to be. So as we look at this passage, it's important that we don't judge Ananias and Sapphira and say we would never do that. Because if we were in that situation, we would be tempted just like them to do that. And maybe we'd do it even worse. And only give 5% instead of 50% or whatever it is. What we have here is a passage that is a warning to us. So we need to be on our guard. This passage reminds us and really highlights that God takes sin very seriously indeed. Now, we may not think it's that much of a problem. We've been forgiven. We've put our trust in Jesus. And we may think, okay, so we can do whatever we want. But we have to remember that when we become Christians, we're set free from sin. And we're called to leave sin behind us. And instead, we're called to be the people that God wants us to be. That means we look in the Bible, we look at God's law, we look at God's word, and this is how we should live. And it shouldn't be a burden to us. For the believer, living the life that God wants us to live is a joy. It's not a heavy load to carry, but it's something that should be our delight, something that gets us excited. We need to be people who are aware of this and take these things to heart and remember that while it's easy to hide our selfish ambitions from men, while it's easy to appear to do the right thing for our own reasons, for the wrong reasons, and get away with it, God is not so easily fooled. In this case, he revealed to Peter the inner workings of Ananias' and Sapphira's heart. And Peter, he proclaimed the truth, and God instantly judged them. They thought to build themselves up in the eyes of men by laying their gift at the apostles' feet. And instead, they were laid at the feet of the young men for burial. Why did this happen? And that's the interesting question for those of us who think about theology. Why were they not given any opportunity to repent? That's the hard question that comes out of this passage. At this point in salvation history, Ananias and Sapphira, they're members of that community in Jerusalem. I think it's very difficult for us to argue that they were a couple of bad eggs that sort of slipped in. We have to presume that they were genuine Christian believers. Why were they not given an opportunity to repent? It's a difficult question, and I haven't got any answers, and the commentaries don't even discuss it. But it does remind us that God takes sin very seriously. And it brings to mind another passage, a passage 1 Corinthians 11, which we could very well be looking at in a few minutes when we think about the Lord's table. Now, when we break bread, we follow Paul's instructions, and we read from 1 Corinthians 11, from verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And it goes on like that. We're very familiar with that passage. We're not so familiar with from verse 27. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and ill, and a number of you have fallen asleep. If you know your New Testament theology, fallen asleep is die. There's another very similar hard passage there where Christians are put under incredible discipline for doing things wrong. And it's why here, when we share the bread and the wine, we always guard the table and we warn people. Because people may think just taking the bread and the wine any old how is a simple thing. But God, who looks at the heart, he takes things very seriously. So we're duty bound to guard the table and warn people about these things, even though we don't always talk about them as clearly as we have done this evening. We need to remember that God is a holy God who does not tolerate sin. And when people keep on sinning, it's clear from God's word that he puts them under discipline. Now, we only ever discipline children that we love. If we don't love our children, we don't set any boundaries, we never discipline them. When Christians persist in sin, it's quite possible that they come under the Lord's discipline and they struggle with various things. And when someone is continuing to persist in sin, We need to ask that question. Do you feel that you are under the Lord's discipline? This is happening now because it is critical for the development and growth of the church that this particular sin is sorted out straight away. We see that the church is attracting satanic attacks. We'd expect that. But some people, they're giving into it. And if these people went on to become significant leaders in the church because of a lie to the apostles, to the community, to the Holy Spirit, then what would happen? It would be a foundation of sand, and the church would just collapse. So this sin had to be snuffed out and sorted out straight away. And what was the response within the church? Great fear seized them. We need to be people who understand who the Lord is, and we need to be people who fear him. The bigger our view of God, the smaller our view of self. The smaller our view of self, we see sin against God as a bigger problem, and we start to appreciate the cross, the salvation that God has done for us, even more. And as we look at Ananias and Sapphira, we see people committing a sin that maybe we've committed ourselves in some way or another, wanting people in the church to think more of us than we actually are. But praise the Lord for his grace. Praise the Lord for his patience. This sort of event is very unusual, very rare. The Lord is loving and kind to us. He does not treat us in the way that our sins deserve. He shows us grace. He gives us time to develop and grow and change. He wants us to be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, to become the people he wants us to be, which is like his Son, the Lord Jesus. That's the target, and we'll never get there until we see him face to face. But we're called to work with the Holy Spirit to become more and more like him, to not drag our heels, to not have things, skeletons in the cupboard, which we don't want coming out. The Lord wants us to be holy and pure, just like the Lord Jesus. So we thank the Lord for his incredible grace and his incredible patience with each and every one of us. And as we look at this passage, as we ponder this passage, as we prepare our hearts to break bread together, let's be people who endeavor to not be like them, Ananias and Sapphira, who did the right thing for the wrong reason. Let's be people who have got nothing to hide, and let's do the right thing for the right reason.